Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies for this Friday. My name is Peter Edmiston, and I'm thrilled to be with you after a week away for a couple of reasons. Spring break, number one, and the fact that I am just finally now getting over what was a very nasty chest cold that really impaired my ability to do a whole lot of powerful talking, which is what I need to do because this is a powerful podcast, so I gotta get after it. So thank you for your patience. I think I'm not 100%, but I'm almost there. So I am able to bring you something today, and I'm thrilled to do that. Even though the topic is once again deeply depressing, at least on the court, as the Grizzlies somehow managed to lose again. We'll talk about the 19th consecutive loss for the Grizzlies. This time, a slapstick affair to the Bulls, where things stand. I want to get into some of the finer points of this tanking situation because the last couple of losses seem to have really sparked a nerve with a few fans and you know what it means to tank. Also, a look at the NCAA tournament performances of some of the players you may be looking very closely at. I suspect you are for the Grizzlies next year. So all of that is to come here on this podcast. Thank you very much for downloading it. Thank you for rating it. Thank you for being patient through a little break due to spring break and health. So we're going to get after it and talk a little bit about what was another loss, an incredible loss. This one was a big-time loss, guys. Big-time loss. You lose to that Bulls team. Very impressive. And here's the thing. I mean, they didn't really want to lose that game. You know, the whole tanking situation, we've talked about it a lot. I'll get into it a little bit more. But at this stage, I think the losing streak is working against them to the point where, you know, I just, again, my opinion only, I have no reporting to back this up or anything like that. This is just strictly my gut feeling. But if they hadn't lost 17 straight or 18 straight going into last night's game, they would not have played Tyreek Evans. I think you know they looked at the PR situation, again, just my opinion, looked at what you know the real backlash that had really started to grow and get very loud from some circles about what the Grizzlies were doing. And then looking even within the fan base, because, you know, I've gotten tons of reaction from a lot of folks, some of whom I've been able to respond to, some I haven't, because of, the time and the illness and all that stuff. But, you know, it's pretty clear that it's driving a little bit of a wedge between some sectors of fans, some fans who really want to cheer for a win, who just, by God, want to win, just want to cheer for something positive in the short term, maybe fully aware that long term it's still best for the Grizzlies to get as good a draft pick as you can, but they still want something to cheer for, damn it, right now, just something good. You know, that's a big chunk of the fan base. And, you know, then you have the other fans who are, look, pro-losing, lose all of them, whatever. That's starting to cause a little friction. I know internally, as John Hollinger talked about, you know, a month or so ago, 2 months ago, that his term was, you know, we would fail in some other goals if we were to finish with the, you know, worst record. Well, that's what they're doing, you know, right now. Those goals, they are failing at those other goals of development of whatever it may be. So you combine all that stuff and the incredibly, remarkably, surprisingly successful tank that they have engaged in. And I think they had to kind of sit back it down a little bit and say, all right, let's throw Tyreek in there. And obviously, as you saw, Tyreek was good to go. I mean, you know, he still made a spectacular blunder at the end of the game to help Antonio Blakeney get the free throws that he needed to win the game, fouling him on a 3-point shot. I mean, it's really a dumb play from Tyreek, but you know, you saw physically he looked fine. He was ready to go. You know, I've always told you, Yeah, I saw the guy, you know, shooting multiple times over the last 2 weeks, and he looked fine to me. So, you know, they're being quote unquote extra cautious with his injury, but I think he could have played. You know, my guess would be he could have played earlier than this, and they obviously chose to hold him out a little bit more. So, you know, you have all these things that come together and create a situation where you kind of have to change a plan, and you throw Tyreek back in there. I thought for sure with Tyreek being back, playing him and Marc Gasol normal minutes, Jermichael Green, you know, the starters played big minutes and played very well. All the Grizzlies starters, double digits, scored at least 15 points. Everyone was pretty effective, but boy, that bench sucked so bad that it was enough to lose the game. You gotta tip your cap to Chandler Parsons, who in a cameo appearance of about 6 minutes managed a minus 13. That's good. That's the kind of stuff you need if you're going to lose these games. I mean, the Bulls, you know, were already warned by the league to back off of their tank. They were already warned for sitting Robin Lopez, Justin Holiday too much. So now they play Lopez, those guys, they play like the first quarter and that's it. And they try to get around it. I mean, the lineup they had on the court at the end of the game, you run a play in a game-winning situation where you get a contested Antonio Blakeney three with like 2 seconds left on the clock. That's the play you get. They didn't want to win that game. But the Grizzlies managed to put themselves in a situation where the Bulls couldn't help but win the game. It's amazing. It's amazing. But that's what's happened, man. 19 straight games the Grizzlies have lost, have not won since January 29th. 19 straight. It is tied now for the 13th longest winning streak, or 13th longest losing streak, I should say, in NBA history. Second longest in franchise history. Got to go a little ways to break it, but they could do it against the Lakers coming up in about a week and a half. Got to get past 23 to break the franchise mark. Got to get to 28 to tie the NBA mark. That was set a few years back by the Sixers. But that's in play. I mean, if you look at if you can lose that game last night, man, you can lose all of them. You could, this is the first time that I could feasibly say, I think it is possible. It's still incredibly unlikely, but it is still possible now. I truly think it is that they could lose every game from here on out. They could finish the season on a 33-game losing streak. I don't think they will, but then again, I thought they'd beat the Bulls last night. I didn't bet, but I would have. That the Grizzlies would have somehow managed to beat the Bulls last night. And speaking of which, of course, if you want to lay some money down, you want to back up your thoughts on sports with a little cash, because, you know, things are going pretty well, I got a great idea for you. You can make a boatload of money if you know how to do it and you know where to put it. That's where MyBookie comes in. And this week, of course, the tournament's going on. So you know there is basketball wall to wall, and it's the perfect time to get into the action. It's the madness of March. You can lay down some money and score big on college hoops. You could join me and thousands of online players and start betting at MyBookie.ag. You know, we all know the issues that sometimes you can have. When you ask for that payout, you have a big day. Oh, man, look at you get so excited. You look at your account, look at the money, and you ask for that payout, and then all of a sudden, it's hard to find somebody, right? Oh, can't manage to get in contact with anyone. Getting that payout can be tricky. Not at mybookie.ag. If you're sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout, come join MyBookie today. I'd only recommend a service that's been good to me and our listeners, and that's why I urge you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. Fast, without any hassles. You're wasting your time betting anywhere else. And you can do live betting, too, in-game. So just enjoy it while tip-off. You have an idea. You want to do something second half, first half, do change, whatever. No problem. They got you covered. It is that easy with MyBookie.ag. If you join now, MyBookie will match your first deposit with a 50% bonus, and you can enter to win their $1 million bracket challenge. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That's LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. You will get that first deposit match with a 50% bonus if you use promo code LOCKEDONNBA. Visit MyBookie today, MyBookie.ag. Play, win, and get paid. So let's talk a little bit about what we mean when we say tanking in this case, because I feel like that has gone, I don't know, that's a term that's thrown out there, but we're losing sight of what that means for the Grizzlies. Let's stipulate, first of all, the Grizzlies are definitely tanking for sure. They are tanking. As an organization, they are perfectly satisfied with losing. They have accepted that it is in their best interests to lose as many games as they can. And so in that sense, yes, they are tanking. That does not mean that the players on the court are intentionally trying to lose games. And I feel like this needs to be stipulated. Even with Tyreek, a very ill-advised foul at the end of the game, I don't think that was tank-oriented. I don't think he was told to foul Antonio Blakeney in a three-point shooting situation. I think that was just a dumb play. The ideal tanking situation is when you play a bunch of guys who can play as hard as possible and will still lose because the talent discrepancy between them and their opponent is too big. That's perfect. That's tanking because those guys can play with pride and energy and they can play the right way and you can maybe presumably get them some development. But you can still lose games. That is the ideal situation. So when I say the Grizzlies are tanking, for example, when they play Jarrell Martin and Jermichael Green together with a big like Mark Gasol or Deonte Davis, that is a tank move. That means that Jarrell or Jermichael, mostly Jarrell though, ends up playing the three, where clearly we have mountains of evidence that tell us that that is not the ideal position for that player, that that is not where you maximize his ability, that is not where you get the most out of what he can do. The things that make Jarrell Martin an interesting player potentially are only available to four. The athleticism advantage that he has, the ability to drive to the basket, the ability to get mismatches, the ability to use the speed that he has. It's speed and athleticism relative to other guys at the four. He's not fast relative to other threes. He's not that quick. He defensively, whatever he can give you is totally negated if he has to defend somebody at that three spot. That's not going to work at all. I'm not sure that it works with him defending the four or anybody else, but it's definitely not going to work with the three. So the stuff that makes Jarrell Martin interesting happened at the four. Well, he's not playing the four. So you've ensured that he's not going to give you maximum performance, and therefore you have reduced your chances of winning the game. When you have a point guard situation that the Grizzlies have dealt with all the injuries and everything else, and you play Kobe Simmons and Xavier Retain-Mays, or now Briante Weber, that's a tank. You could go get a better point guard than that. They didn't. They were happy to play those guys as much as they could, knowing that, again, that's likely to lead to losses. That is a tank situation. When you sit Marc Gasol against his will on back-to-back games, that's, you know, when you sit him on the second night of a back-to-back, that's a tank. That's, you know, sporadic strategic resting. That's obviously a tank maneuver. When you have Tyreek's injury go on as long as it did, that's definitely a tank maneuver. Those are things that are done organizationally to help your team lose. That is not the same as making bad passes, too many turnovers, making bad decisions with the ball, taking bad shots, that kind of stuff. That's just players who are playing the best they can, but just not good enough doing those things. That's ideally how you tank. I mean, we've seen a lot, and Dylan Brooks is a good example, a guy who's played more minutes than anybody else this season, more minutes than anybody else throughout this losing streak, a guy who is taking his lumps, second rounder, being dragged through it, baptism of fire all the way. But, you know, what do we know about Dylan Brooks? We know he's a gamer. We know the guy is a competitor. We know he's got some defensive chops. He was not out there for the Grizzlies in crunch time last night, but he's played so much. But look, over the course of the streak, he's shooting just under 40% in this 19-game losing streak. As much as he has scored, and he has scored the second most points for the Grizzlies over the course of that streak, he's still shooting under 40%. He's shooting 32% from three. He's a good player, but I think sometimes people take it too far. And when he's surrounded by other players who are, you know, not even close to his level, and his level's not especially high, then it makes him look even further along than he actually is. So let's dial it back a little bit on Dylan Brooks. If you want to talk about tanking, Ben McLemore has played the fifth most minutes of any Grizzly during this losing streak. That's clearly tanking. No doubt about it. And McLemore, to his credit, has actually improved by, you know, his standards. Still a long, long way to go. He's still the worst raw plus-minus guy of anybody. But he is shooting now 44% during the streak from the field and 44% from three. So there is at least that. That is a sign of some improvement from Ben McLemore, which is what you want. But that's a tanking situation. When you see Jarrell Martin play as many minutes as he has, that's a tanking situation. And, you know, Marc Gasol is doing what he can do. His numbers are not spectacular, 41% from the field, 30% from three during this whole thing. But again, you're dealing with a Mark that is, you know, his motivation is certainly, you know, at this point, somewhat questionable based on, you know, how things have gone this year. I just want to draw the distinction between tanking organizationally and intentionally trying to lose games, which the Grizzlies are definitely not, from a player standpoint, trying to do. Organizationally, sure, they're fine with it. But as a player standpoint, not so much. I mean, these guys, none of them like to lose. If you're any kind of a competitor, you don't want to lose games. And you certainly don't want to have your name attached to the ignominious 19-game losing streak. You don't want to be anything near that. I mean, that is that's a sad thing for a career. You know, Marc Gasol is a very proud guy. He does not want his name anywhere near a 19-game losing streak, but there it is. He's part of it. You know, he played in 16 of the 19 games. He's got to own a big chunk of that. You know, that's something that's going to be with him, and it will be a, I'm not sure, you know, how big of a note on the career, but it is going to be a note on the career. None of those guys in that locker room, when you talk to them after the game or before the game or any other time, I mean, they are embarrassed by what's happening. It's embarrassing. They don't want to go out there and be the laughingstock of the league, but that's where they find themselves. So, you know, you understand that long term, this is the thing that needs to be done. The Grizzlies need to be really as bad as they possibly can to maximize this opportunity in what is a very deep and good draft, or at least a very deep in terms of, like, actually top-level prospects. Normally, you don't see a draft with this many guys that you could make a case for as being pretty high-level guys. You know, the Grizzlies can get themselves right in the mix and guarantee just about a very productive, potentially excellent player. So they're doing the right thing, but at the time that it's going on, right now, in this moment, it sucks. It sucks for them, sucks for the fans, it sucks all the, and no one should try to pretend otherwise. You know, these players, many of them will not be on the team next year, and certainly will not be on the team in the same role they're playing right now. So, I mean, like, you know, we'll check back in next week with some of the development of those guys. But, I mean, look, man, it's hard to even really gather what kind of development you're making because it's been such a scattershot, weird situation with this team and how they've played. I just don't know that there's very much development happening, period. I don't see a lot of progress that's being made maybe outside of Dylan Brooks. We'll take a quick break, come back, and talk a little bit about some of the performance of guys to watch in the draft and in the NCAA tournament, because you that are watching today will see a few. Yesterday, we saw a few as well, and maybe didn't go quite that well. You're listening to Locked On Grizzlies on the Locked On Podcast Network. So without a doubt, the guy that everyone wanted to watch yesterday was DeAndre Ayton. And guess what? He wasn't very good at all. Now, a lot of you are going to be tempted to freak out because you don't watch a ton of college basketball and you haven't watched him all year. And that was you watched him play against Buffalo, ladies and gentlemen, and his team, Arizona, got their clock cleaned by Buffalo, and he's out of the tournament. 14 points, 13 rebounds yesterday for DeAndre Ayton. And he didn't play that well. He had trouble getting the ball. That's really on the teammates and on the offense. He had trouble asserting himself, showed a couple moments good defense, but was, again, just not playing with a great deal of passion and fire, which alarms some people, but that's not unusual if you've watched DeAndre Ayton play this year. I mean, frankly, I blame a lot of the analysts for this because a lot of people are hyping this guy up like he's, you know, Wilt Chamberlain or Shaq or something. And he's very, very good, but he's not that. And he's still very young. So it was not an overwhelming performance by him. Same thing for Trae Young, who finished with 28 points in Oklahoma's loss to Rhode Island. He's out as well. And I thought he was okay. Again, he's dealing with the same issues with that team in that game that he's dealt with all year, which is to say he just doesn't have a lot of help. I mean, that team it's like a one-man show. And, you know, you watched Rhode Island put a longer defender, a guy that was probably 3-4 inches taller and certainly had long arms, and just draped him all over Trae Young all night and didn't have to worry about anything else, didn't have to worry about any other player causing problems, wasn't a factor because, you know, he didn't have any help from his teammates. So in the NBA, that will change. And I think you'll see a more effective Trae Young. So I don't want people to, I don't know, like the same thing with Ayton and Trae Young. To me, if you liked him a month ago, whatever you liked about there, it shouldn't have changed all that much in the interim. I mean, it really shouldn't. Maybe you didn't like him as much. There's reasons for all that. I get it. But honestly, at the end of the day, it's a tournament game. It's one game in the case of DeAndre Ayton. It should not change your board. It shouldn't change the way that you feel about these players. Marvin Bagley was very solid for Duke, and he went over Iona. Not a great level of competition. 22.7 rebounds for Bagley, 10-14 from the field. Wendell Carter, another guy that's going to be up there in a lot of draft boards. 9.8 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 assists, and a block in his 24 minutes against Iona. You'll see some action if you are watching the tournament later on today. You will see Michael Porter Jr. in one of the late games, only his second game all year. Didn't look especially good in the first one in the SEC tournament. We will see what he can offer. That game is in Nashville at, I want to say it's about a 9:00 Central Time tip-off. You'll see Mizzou take on Florida State. Jaren Jackson, my guy, we'll be tipping off around 6:00 against Bucknell for Michigan State, if you want to check out what he can do. So there are a couple of those guys. Mo Bamba in action around 3:30, Texas and Nevada in first-round action. So you're going to want to keep an eye on him. A lot of guys to watch, and I suspect many of you have been watching throughout the year. If not, now is a good time to jump on and then go back and find some footage, do your own scouting, let me know, because we'll be doing plenty of shows about these guys and about prospects and about what the Grizzlies should be doing. So that's it for now. The streak stretches to 19. It could be 20 after tomorrow night against the Denver Nuggets, a team the Grizzlies have already lost twice to in the middle of this streak. So maybe more to come. I don't know. Where does it end? You got me. It's long, man. It is a long, desperate streak. I think the end product is going to be good. But boy, right now, it absolutely sucks. We'll talk more about it on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.